Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. The Grow Show is brought to you by Marty Grinder's Grow Group, where we specialize in teaching landscaping companies how to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grinder Landscaping Company. New episodes of The Grow Show are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now, here's your host, Marty Grinder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grinder from Grinder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Great to be with you this week. I've got some thoughts I want to share with you on five things I think every owner and leader of a landscaping company should be focused on. You'll enjoy it, but first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, computer, or wherever you get your podcasts, or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since a family group text. With four children, two granddaughters, three son-in-laws, and a lot going on with kids living in three different cities, and none of them in Dayton, Ohio, where I live, I love the family group text. We get updates, pictures, funny stuff, important stuff, sad stuff, happy stuff. Overall, it just lets us all keep in touch. It's so good. I'm contemplating deleting my Facebook account as I really don't like Facebook friends. There's too much nasty stuff on there and too many distractions. I keep my Facebook page to my family and really close friends, and that's it. Oh yeah, if you want to follow me, the two best spots are LinkedIn first and foremost. Love it. And Instagram is great too. We've got links here in the show notes. Maybe you do want to follow me. I'd love to see that. If you don't have a family group text, start one. And hopefully you have a comedian for a son-in-law like I do in my daughter's husband, Ty. He's pretty funny. Ty, shout out to you, brother. Now on to this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. I've been on the road speaking and teaching some. Very, very busy late summer and fall here. And in the heat of it all, I'm trying to meet two kinds of people at Grinder Landscaping Company in my role as Director of Business Development. People who could do business with us and people who know people who could do business with us. And quite frankly, it's going really well. There's definitely a ton of work out there. If you're complaining, stop that. Complaining is for losers, folks. There's work out there. Spend time complaining. Spend the time you use to complain instead on looking for work. You might be amazed at what you find. In my speaking and teaching, I prefer to call it teaching, I have a really good hand on the pulse of the industry. Yes, work is harder to sell right now, much harder than it was during COVID. Prospects are getting multiple quotes, and it's just not the same as it was in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and maybe even a little bit of 2024, quite frankly. But you can get it done with the right attitude, and you can make sales and have a much better atmosphere at your landscaping company if you take heed on the following. These five things are all culture builders, if you will, things that smart owners and leaders focus on daily. None of the five things we're going to talk about here are hard to understand, but like a lot of things in business, ladies and gentlemen, they're hard to stay focused on and to stay consistent with. So here goes the five. Number one, focus on an efficiency rating and make certain every team member understands that. We're going to discuss that. Number two, consistency in your branding. Number three, cleanliness is important. Number four, they have a sincere focus on the well-being of every team member, every team member. And number five, they check their ego and jump in and do whatever it takes whenever is needed. So let's talk about each one. Number one, a focus on efficiency rating and making certain that every team member understands this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a game changer. No matter what language your team speaks, for us, it's English and some Spanish. They understand an efficiency rating, okay? Efficiency rating is your budgeted hours that you bid for the job over your actual hours. And so if you bid a job for 150 hours and it took 140, that's good. That's bueno. If you bid a job for 150 and it took 175, that's bad. No bueno. Everybody, no matter what language you speak, understands that. This is the start of it all, folks. That's where we got started many years ago. Improving our profitability, getting more and more efficient. I just don't see how you run a business like a landscaping company without an intense focus on your efficiency rating. As you progress, you can look at paying bonuses on this metric. If you come to a GLC field trip, we've got a few left here this fall. You can see how we do this. But for your now, if your team does not have a target number on each job, that's a mistake. It doesn't matter if you use Aspire, LMN, whatever you use, you got to track this. If you use Aspire, this is so easy to track, it's crazy, and it's a rally cry for sure. Aspire on your schedule board. If the ticket is in green, you know you're good. If it's red, you know you're bad. It's just an amazing way to stay on top of that. Look, at the end of the day, folks, we sell time, and you got to understand that. And I'm amazed at how many companies don't focus on this. So focus on efficiency, all right? Number two, consistency in the brand. This is another thing that's easy to do. It's hard at times, and it's expensive, okay? It's one of those things like it's really easy to understand what it is. It's hard to implement. It gets expensive, but it's worth it. When I got started, I didn't have the wherewithal to do what I can do today. All my trucks were red, our shirts were red, but we were consistent. Our letterhead and the like, it all looked the same. You could see a level of attention to detail and professionalism in that. And we were building a brand as we went along. As we morphed into green trucks and a new logo that's been with us now for 30 years. And in that 30 years, we've branded ourselves very well in Dayton, Ohio. And now we are leaving a mark in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's going to take us a while to have a recognizable brand in Cincinnati. We've been there about a year. We've been in Dayton 40 years, but we will get there. And by being consistent, we can get there faster. We would not get there to that point where we are here if it weren't for the consistency. If all of our trucks were a different color, if we got to burn our saddle and decide to change the look, you know, I've had somebody say, are you going to update your logo? No, I'm not going to update my logo. It's what people know. It's what they understand. We're going to do it that way. I look at branding this way. I think it silently says what you want everyone who comes in contact with you to say, to do, to think, to take action upon. I want people, when they see a Grunder Landscaping Company social media post, to think, man, are they professional? They really look like they know what they were doing. Look at these job site pictures. Look how creative they are. Look at their team members in the pictures. They're smiling. They seem so friendly. I bet you they'd do a great job if I hired them. I want anyone to see the post to conclude, I got to get myself some GLC, okay? So take a minute right now and hit pause. Go back and look at your most recent social media post and come back here. I'm going to take a minute. Pause. Go look at your most recent one and come back here. Okay, starting it back up. Ask yourself, what would a complete stranger take away from that post? What would they be thinking? What do the pictures tell? What's the story telling the pictures? What do they remember? Is it about the prospect or is it about you and your ego? I see a lot of posts out there, folks, that are about one's ego and not really of any value to the majority of the people on your feed or the people seeing your paid ad. Would your post make a prospect want to call you and hire you? Our peer group members compare ads and marketing all the time in their groups and get candid feedback. Yet another advantage of being in a peer group. What about your trucks and equipment? How do they look? What do they communicate? What about how your team looks? Have you gotten lax there? Are shirts untucked or hats on backwards? Is somebody wearing their favorite St. Louis Cardinals hat instead of the company hat? How do they look? What about your offices? What about your bathrooms? What about your desk? What about you and your truck? I don't think that clean trucks, logoed trucks, a nice logo, and all that stuff you think of when you think of branding from an image perspective provides reasons for prospects and clients to do business with you. But I do think prospects and clients believe who you say you are when they see things looking good like that. Branding. How are your phones answered? What are you known for? How are requests handled on the website? Your branding is everything that communicates who you are and what you do. It's the sensory stuff in many ways. What does someone feel, hear, touch, and even smell? How consistent is your brand? When I started, folks, I only had a few trucks, but they were clean. My men were in t-shirts. We responded quickly. Don't make excuses, folks. A lot of this is more about hard work and being organized and intentionally and setting a good example for your team to follow than anything else. Don't tell me you can't afford it. A lot of these things are just about having a commitment to it. It's about realizing that every interaction with a client or a prospect is a chance to impress or depress. Impress and you win, depress and you lose. It's a slow process, but you do win when you impress and you do lose when you depress. So get consistent with the brand. Number three, cleanliness is important. I briefly mentioned it a couple moments ago. I think cleanliness matters. We did a whole grow show on that. There's a link to it in the show notes here for you to watch and listen to that one again. And a lot of people would argue with me, and I might be willing to admit at times that I take cleanliness too far. But I'm reminded of a meeting I had over 10 years ago with Pam Morris. She was the founder and CEO of a wildly successful business here in Dayton, Ohio called CareSource. I was a regional Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. She was the national Entrepreneur of the Year for Ernst & Young. She smoked me in that competition. She was an awesome lady. She retired a few years ago. She's still doing well. Haven't talked to her. Probably a reminder to reach out to Pam. But I was meeting her in her company cafeteria for lunch, which that was a big deal for me to get to meet with a prominent CEO here in Dayton. And I've always admired people who stand out in a world where they are not the majority. Pam was a female doing great things in a world where not that many females are CEOs of major companies in the healthcare like she was. It's getting better. And as the father of three daughters and the grandfather of two more girls, I love seeing women kick butt like Pam did. She retired, and again, I've lost touch with her a little bit, but her lessons live on. One such lesson was this story. I was with Pam, we were eating lunch, and she said, "Marty, I would gather that you're a type A personality. You seem really intense like I am." I said, "Yeah, Pam, I am." She said, "When your team talks to you and they say, hey, you're too intense, your expectations are too high, you need to relax a little bit, like, what do you say to that?" And Pam was just so smart. Like, I really didn't know what to say. Okay. I said, "Pam, I do get asked that. I just kind of smile and I say, well, you know, I don't know what to say to that." She's like, "Well, here's what I say when people tell me that here at CareSource, when they ask me about my intensity and in my high expectations, I say, somebody around here better have high expectations." And it really drove a point home with me. And it almost like made me realize that I need to speak up more, that I'm not nagging, that that's what it's all about. Pam helped me a lot with that mindset of excellence and a commitment to push. And I think at times, folks, CEOs of small businesses, like those of us listening to The Grow Show powered by Steel today, feel again like they're being a nag, like they're pestering their teams nonstop with their demands to do better. And I think there is some truth with that. And you do have to be considerate, and you do know when to pick your battles and when not to, as they say. But someone in that organization has to be pushing for excellence in everything that is done. And I think that it is that is your job as a CEO. And I think, wham, the world according to Marty, cleanliness is a way to show everyone what's important. I do spend a fair amount of time personally cleaning. So does our president, believe it or not, Seth Flum. Many mornings, you will find him in our shop, either here in our Dayton location where the Steel Studios are, or our Loveland, Ohio location down on the north side of Cincinnati. You will see him straightening things up. They bought me a very nice German-made push sweeper that I sweep the shop with. I clean the bathrooms. I pick up stuff. Kim in our office helps me a lot. Alan in our office helps me a lot. I think that this matters, that they see the people at the top of the org chart that are out there making these things important. And I think that cleanliness and all that attention to detail, when you have your team here with you for, say, 30 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, when they check into the mothership, when things are organized, when they're clean, they're orderly, I think those behaviors manifest themselves in job sites and how your equipment is treated and how you look. You don't see dirty police officers or dirty police cars. You don't see dirty gate agents at a Delta Airlines terminal or Delta plane. And there's a reason for that. It's about being a professional. So I think that that matters. Number four, focus on the well-being of every team member. And I do truly mean every team member. Running a business is tough. I'm not here to tell you it isn't. Nothing about it is easy. I think the steps that one needs to take to be successful in business, I think they really truly are easy to understand, but they're very difficult to implement. It's just hard to stay on point all the time, folks. It's hard to stay on task and be focused on your business, your family, your health. But if you want your business and your life to thrive, to be one that you look back on 30 years from now with fondness, you got to focus on all this stuff. At work, the golden goose, protecting it, the conduit for success for other things, the most important thing is to have an engaged, happy team. If you follow me, you know one of my philosophies is that your external customer service, the service that you extend to your clients, will never exceed your internal customer service, the way that you treat your team. You got to treat your team well for them to treat your clients well. And if you treat your clients well, they're going to come back and they're going to tell others to do business with you, and your business will grow organically. But here's where I want you to focus as it relates to people. You know, in our 401ks or our stock accounts that hopefully you all have, and you're putting savings aside and then so someday you can retire. I'm amazed how much I have in my 401k after about 37 years of contributing to it. It's really quite comforting, folks. You don't invest in losers in that account. If you have a stock that's not making money, you sell it and you don't buy any more. And I think that relates to people too. Quite frankly, we spend way too much time on mediocre performing employees. And when you do that, you take time away from your best ones. They don't get enough of your time. We had an employee here a while back that did a lot of good, but needed way too much handholding, constant pushing and attention to get him just to move. Nice guy, liked him a lot. It's hard to find people with his skill set, and equally hard to find one with a drive and a focus and a desire to win. That guy had no drive, no desire to win. He was a nice person, and because of that, he got many chances, but at a cost. Too much of my management team's time was spent on him. Too much of my time, because he was a nice guy. I really tried to help him, tried to get him to see things. And in the end, because of an excellent manager holding him accountable, he decided to select himself out of the organization as the demands for his performance were pushed and pushed and pushed that he had to do more. We need to spend our time on someone else. As I look back, we made a mistake. We should have made a move sooner, and we didn't. So my experience share this week on the Grow Show Powered by Steel here is to focus on the well-being of everyone. Give them the benefit of the doubt. But if they're not performing, if they're not hitting their numbers, their metrics, even if there's an absence of complaints or compliments, be inquisitive. Ask yourself my favorite question that one of my longtime mentors, Ed Epley, shared with me years ago when he was coaching me how to lead better. He said, and I quote, "Marty, given what you know about this person now, if you had an opportunity to rehire them, would you? If the answer is no, what are you waiting for? If the answer is maybe, talk more and focus on some training for that person. Talk about them long and hard. And if the answer is yes, are you spending enough time with their well-being? It's often those good performers that get taken for granted. They don't get enough of your time and your help and your mentoring, and they may check out because you took them for granted. Meanwhile, you're spending time with a C performer. As long as someone is on our payroll, we care about their safety and we treat them with dignity and respect no matter how they perform. But this is a business, and if they aren't adding any value, it doesn't matter who they are, how nice they are, who their brother is, their dad is, their wife is, get them out of your organization. We have about 5 people in our companies that I don't interact with much, but are critical to our operation. And I have realized that they get taken for granted. And I make sure to talk to them often, which requires me to go out of my way. I never want anyone at the Grunder Landscaping Company or the Grow Group to feel they aren't valued. And I also, to be blunt, want all of our people to know that we care about them. We tell them that, but they have to care about us too. In a recent Grow meeting, I wrapped up the meeting with our entire company, and I was very candid about this to the whole company. It may have tuned some people off, and quite frankly, I don't care if it did. As if what I'm about to tell you rubbed them in the wrong way, they don't belong at GLC, and the bigger you get, the easier it is, I think, for someone to hide. We have 140 team members now, and my experience coaching entrepreneurial companies, the bigger you get, the more you have to rely on managers that are learning how to lead themselves, and they fear confrontation, and they often don't hold their people accountable like they should be. That's why training is so critical for your managers. Here's what I told my whole team. I told them that I care about them, that we care about them. And I shared some examples to prove to them that we care about them. But I said, you got to care about us. Uniforms need to be worn right. Details need to be followed. Safety protocols need to be followed. Core values need to be followed. Our non-negotiables need to be followed and the like. And I even admitted in front of everyone that I do play favorites. I said, you know, people often say, Marty, hey, you play favorites. You know, folks, most managers, good managers, actually do play favorites. Hear me out. If you do what I like you, and you're my favorite. If you don't do what I don't care for it. You're not a favorite, okay? So care about everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Show those by your actions, okay, that you care. And show those who by their actions that they don't care, show them the door and get someone else and make an investment in them and see what happens. In due time, you will have a team that kicks you know what. And then finally, great leaders check their ego here. They check their ego in the last of the five we're talking about and do whatever is necessary to win. You got to be great at what you want your team to be good at. I'm going to say that again. You got to be great at what you want your team to be good at. The more you make success about you, the less success you will have. That's a fact. The more you make it about the team, the more success you will have. I do think a lot of people who don't know me think I'm arrogant, and I understand that. In my role as a coach, I talk a lot about our successes. I also try to talk about our failures. As only the Lord knows, I have made more than everyone listening to this Grow Show powered by Steel. I've seen mean social media posts. I've heard other people say things about me that hurts. I get it. But I've also come to understand that some of that comes with the territory of putting yourself out there like I do. Those who take the time to get to know me, I think will find that I'm not arrogant, just old, and I have a ton of experience, and that experience is the greatest teacher of all and allows me to make an impact not just on my own company here, but on the green industry in general. My team knows my heart's in the right place by my actions. I will do whatever is needed to help them. And they are very comfortable asking me to do things that are in my strength zone. No one at our company is better at running a meeting with a client than I am. And no one is worse at putting in a patio for a client than I am. And I cannot run an Exmark stand-up mower, and my truck driving skills are rusty, even though I still proudly carry my commercial driver's license. I make sure our team knows that I know they are great at that stuff and that we rely on them for that. Thank you. I work very hard to ask questions, to not be a know-it-all. Nobody wants to be around a know-it-all, folks. A know-it-all is someone others don't want to be around, and a know-it-all is someone that doesn't get people to help them because people don't come forth with ideas because you always shut them down. I am very careful about the words I choose. Jim Calli, our strategic partner at McFarland Stanford, has helped me immensely with this. I try to make sure people know that I admire them and I need their help. I try to treat people the way I'd want to be treated. And I'm constantly asking myself this question: would I want to work for me? I ask myself that question every week when I sit down to review the week gone by and plan for the next week and the next 2 months. By the way, we've got an episode. We'll attach it here in the show notes. It does a great job talking about my weekly planning. Maybe listen to that one after you're done here. It's a great regimen to follow. Listen to it. It will help you understand. So again, those five things this week on the Grow Show powered by Steel: focus on an efficiency rating and make sure every single team member understands this. Job bid for 150 hours comes in at 140. That's good. Job bid at 150 that comes in at 180. No bueno. Number two, consistency and branding. Whatever you do, no matter how big or small you are, be consistent. Number three, cleanliness is important. It sets the tone. It communicates so much. It's a silent teacher. Number four, have a sincere focus on the well-being of every team member, even the ones not performing. Work with them and get them out of there. Hire slow and fire fast, folks. And then finally, check your ego and jump in and do whatever it takes. I hope these five things help you. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, take your phone out right now and text this episode to someone that you care about that's trying to grow their landscaping company. That would really help us. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose outdoor power equipment makes our jobs easier every day. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode and head to growgroupinc.com to learn more about our other offerings, or to find more information to help your landscaping business. We'll talk to you next week.